if I regard iniquity in my heart or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I have to make sure that I've confessed my sin and got rid of it. I won't tell you the whole story. Jenna, the little 8-year-old girl, that when we finally prayed for her, that little girl had been sick with awful sores all over her body for 8 years. We prayed for that little girl and prayed for her and prayed for her, and nothing happened. And finally I told them, I said, you got to find the sin. And of course, the mother and the father, they started working on that, praying over that, and it took 2 or 3 weeks of praying when the Lord finally told the mother that it was her lying and deception that made her baby be born sick. And when she called me and told me, she knew what it was, and of course, she had been lying to her husband and deceiving her husband. Now, I can't imagine any woman ever doing that to their husband, but this one did. And she lied and deceived him. And of course, when she asked him to forgive her, he did. When she asked God to forgive her, he did. And then I prayed for the little girl. In 2 weeks, the little girl didn't have a mark on her little body. She was completely healed. So you see, you got to get rid of sin first, and then you got to believe in your heart that it's going to happen. In other words, when I speak to a demon over your life, if you happen to be a person that has opened the door through sin, you've let a demon in, and you're tired of him, and usually it don't take long with a creditor come to steal, kill, and to destroy. It's not long till you're tired of him. You don't want him. And so it makes it real easy to walk in love. I mean, when I found out what demons can do to me, it made it real easy for me to walk in love with everybody. Because, you know, if I get out of a love walk with anybody, guess who gets hit? Me, not the other person. I get hit. Either that or Cheryl does. You know, it'll knock her legs out from under her. I don't want to go there. I want to walk in love with everybody, don't you? So then we go back to that Matthew 8:13 one more time. I want you to just read that one more time. Get it over in your spirit. Matthew 8:13. Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. If you meditate on that, after you've repented of your sin, then you've got to change your way of believing that I believe this belongs to me. I believe healing is mine. I believe I am healed. You have to believe that with no doubt in your heart. And then when you do that, then you go down to verse 17. And when we get to verse 17 there, he says in Matthew 8:17, that himself, talking about Jesus, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So a few weeks ago, I got an email from a couple that had been here to 3 or 4 or 5 healing schools, and both of them were sick. Both of them. They had repented of everything they thought known to man, but they were still both sick. And one day they're praying over this, all this stuff. They're listening. They're coming to healing schools. They're listening to me teach this stuff. He said, finally, my wife and I got together and said, you know, the one sin that we've got that we've not gotten rid of is the sin of unbelief of the promises of God. He said, I want us to repent right now for not believing these promises because they're in there. Then he says, if Jesus has already bore our infirmity and removed our disease, we're going to get up from here right this minute and we're going to both be completely healed. We're going to start taking this information that Thurman's put out and we're going to start teaching a healing school and our own church, and we're going to do it, and both of us are going to be healed. And they both got up and walked out of there, and before they got to the end of the room, both of them was completely healed. And he sent me an awesome testimony about how they, when they believed, it was theirs. They got a rhema word. It belongs to me. I don't have to be sick no more. Isn't that awesome? I mean, the hardest thing in the world for us to get in our spirit is that it's mine. It really does belong to me. Because, you know, there's always this wonderful little critter. He's so sweet that when you start to stand on God's word, he'll come right up in your ear and whisper, but that's not going to work for you. Now, who do you think that little critter might be? When he says, but it's not going to work for you. And do you know what? Most of the time, we as Christians believe him instead of the word of God. Isn't that something? I'd like to see everybody totally, completely healed, walking in divine health, because I believe that that's what our King died for. I believe that's what he came to this earth for, so you and me could walk in love and be totally healed. I want to see that with every one of us. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 14 in the NLT. Start with verse 1. This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. Now, I thought Israel was God's chosen nation. Was it? Is it? Are they the elect? Yes, they really are. And then look what he says here. This message is from the Lord, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit within humans. Now, can you do any of those? I don't think I have a clue. Do you? So who is he? When he says he's the Lord, when he says he stretched out the heavens, I mean, I can build a building, but give me a break. Wow. I will make Jerusalem and Judea like an intoxicating drink to all the nearby nations that send their armies to besiege Jerusalem. Let's go on, 23 and 4. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone, a burden for the world. None of the nations who try to lift it will escape unscathed. But it's come to that point now because Israel will not put God first, that God has turned his back on Israel. It's amazing how he does this. He says, on that day, says the Lord, I will cause every horse to panic and every rider to lose his nerve. Now, just think about what that says. Here we got horses and riders, and on that day, in other words, the nations that come against Israel, every one of them is going to be probably destroyed, tore up, killed. Millions of men's going to lose their lives and everything else. I will cause every horse to panic and every rider to lose his nerve. Now, have you ever thought, is there ever any doubt in your mind as you read the scripture that God is in total control of everything? I mean, you know, if you don't think God's in total control, meditate on what we're just reading here. I mean, he's talking about the horses coming across. There may be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of men that are coming to fight a war. They're going to wipe out Israel. And all of a sudden, God just blinds every horse and moves on the heart of every man. And every man all of a sudden becomes afraid of his own shadow. Now, who could do that besides God? Only God can do that. I mean, if you don't think he's in control, you just haven't read the Word of God very close. I mean, if he can take the horses and the men and cause them to panic, he says, I will watch over the people of Judah, but I will blind the horses of her enemies. So every horse that's running, all of a sudden, something comes over his eyes and that horse can't see a thing. You know how long that horse is going to run? He's going to step in a hole or do something. He's going to fall. When he does, he's going to flip you right over his head and that sucker's going to come right over you. I can remember something simple. One day I was trying to break a little old horse. He wasn't but a year and a half, 2 years old, I guess. I'm trying to break him to rein, and I run him down to the back of the field, and it had been plowed, thank goodness, and I run this little horse down there, and when I turned, I mean, it was terrible to get him to go. He did not want to leave the barn. But I finally got down to the back of the field, and I turned him around coming this way. Man, he broke down, and he run 90 miles an hour, and he went right over the side of that fence. And I reached around and got him and pulled that bridle plumb around and put his head in my lap. And that horse is still running right down that fence line, just 40 miles an hour. And there's a great big oak tree right up there in front of me with some great big limbs this big around sticking right out about this high off the ground. And I know what's fixing to happen. That horse can't see that because I got his head pulled around in my lap, but he's running right down that fence line, and there ain't but one thing for me to do. That's turn his head loose to see if he's going to dodge. And as when I turned his head loose, he just ducked his head, and I just throwed myself off, went right out in that field. I thought, wow, I'm sure glad that I didn't go over his head and him roll over me. It hurt enough to go out there in the field, off to the side. I'm sure glad I was 18 years old. I'm glad I was a young man. Whoa. Verse 5 and 6. And the clans of Judah will say to themselves, the people of Jerusalem have found strength in the Lord Almighty, their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a brazier that sets a wood pile ablaze or like a burning torch among sheaves of grain. They will burn up all the neighboring nations right and left while the people living in Jerusalem remain secure. 7 and 8. The Lord will give victory to the rest of Judah first before Jerusalem, so that the people of Jerusalem and the royal line of David will not have greater honor than the rest of Judah. On that day, the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem. The weakest among them will be as mighty as King David, and the royal descendants will be like God. In other words, the weak ones are going to be strong as David when he was a warrior. But those that were strong are going to be equivalent to God in strength. I mean, you might not want to mess with Israel during this period of time. You know, I don't think I'd want to be at war with Israel at this point. They'll be like the angel of the Lord who goes before them. Verse 9. For my plan is to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. How many of them? Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on all the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me whom they have pierced and they will mourn for him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died. This is, they're talking about Jesus, of course, verse 11 and 12. The sorrows and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be like the grievous mournings of Hadad's remnants in the valley of Megiddo. All Israel will weep in profound sorrow, each family by itself, with the husbands and wives in separate groups. The family of David will mourn along with the family of Nathan, verse 13 and 14. The family of Levi and the family of Shimon. Each of the surviving families from Judah will mourn separately, husbands and wives apart. Let's go to the next chapter, verse 1 of 13. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the dynasty of David and for the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all their sins and defilement. And on that day, says the Lord Almighty, I will get rid of every trace of idol worship throughout the land, so that even the names of the idols will be forgotten. I will remove from the land all false prophets and the unclean spirits that inspire them. Now, think about what he said right there in that last verse. I will remove from the land all false prophets. Do we have some false prophets out there today? We have some serious false prophets. It says there, the unclean spirits that inspire them. So if a man is a prophet, he needs to really be careful today if he starts speaking things for God, because he does not know. He may have an unclean spirit witnessing to him or speaking to him, telling him that what he's hearing is coming from God, and it's not God at all. And how do you know that? Well, in the last 4 years, I have had numerous prophets prophesy over me. When I go to a church to speak, if they bring a prophet in, and especially he's got a recorder, he wants me to have a copy of what he just says. So far, every prophet that's ever prophesied over me in one of those churches, and then they give me the tape, what they said never came to pass.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Total Love and Obedience, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.